Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been working our way through the book of Mark. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. We were talking about the meaning of the parable of the sower. And as I was talking about toward the end of last week's program, these four soils in the parable of the sower are the four types of hearts that we find in the world. There are those who hear the word of Christ and immediately reject it. Satan comes along like a bird and picks that word up out of their heart, and they never come to any faith whatsoever. Then there are some who come to faith, but when times get tough, when pressures like persecution for the word arise, that intense time period kills off faith and they end up drifting away. Then there are folks who receive the word for a time, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for material things enter in, and the word cannot do any work. Jesus says the word is essentially choked. And then there are people who receive the word and they don't allow the world. They don't allow persecution to stand in the way. They don't allow evil things to come and take that word away. Jesus says such a heart as that can be productive in his kingdom. They can produce a yield. And one of the last things I'd like for you to notice is there are varieties of yields that one can produce. You see, not all of us have the same gifts, and some of us can do more than others. Paul talked about how he did more work as an apostle than the other apostles did. And I don't think he was bragging. He was simply stating a fact that when you compared his work to the work of other apostles, he had outworked them. And there's lots of reasons why Paul did that. I think some of it was just flat out his personality. Paul was a very driven man. And once he arrived at faith in Jesus Christ, he pushed and pushed and pushed. He was one who yielded 100. And yet there are some who only yield 30. Both are accepted in the kingdom of God. The question is, what sort of heart do you have? Do you really want to do the will of God? And are you willing to do the will of God regardless of what comes up in life? Are you willing to follow the will of God regardless of the things of this world? Are you willing to follow the will of God even if intense time periods come into your life? And we know they will. There are times of testing. There are times of tribulation in the disciples' life. Are you willing to continue believing in Jesus Christ, working for Him, and living your life according to the pattern that He has left for you? If so, then you are a part of that good soil. In verse number 21, He says to His disciples, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus uses some of this reasoning in other contexts. The light that he's talking about is his light. The light of Jesus that shines through the life of a disciple. You cannot take that light and hide it. We sing a little kid's song sometimes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a basket. No, I'm going to let it shine. When you have a light, you put it up high so that it'll light an entire room. We have lights that hang in our bedrooms, for instance, from the ceiling. Why do we put them up there? Well, because that helps spread the light out to every corner of the room. That's what we're supposed to do with the word of Christ. Let it shine, not hide it. Unfortunately, the word of Christ has the effect of showing us who is really a true disciple of Jesus Christ. There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. I can't read a person's heart. I'm not God. God can look at a person's heart and he can see exactly what's going on inside there. I, though, can see the fruit that is born in a person's life. And if I see someone who for a time was faithful to the Lord, but then fell away, something is revealed in that, isn't it? Now, maybe they'll come back. Maybe they'll return. We hope for that. We hope for folks to repent and return to the Lord. And yet you have to wonder, which soil are they? Are they the soil that's going to produce good in the kingdom of God? Or are they the soil that's been choked out by thorns or smothered by the sun? He says to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Jesus is telling us to be very careful with what we do, with what we hear. If I've heard the word of Christ, I need to do something with it. I have a responsibility to respond to that word. And if I respond, Jesus says, I'm going to keep giving it to you. More is going to be given. But to those who don't respond, their reward is taken away, and the reward is given to someone else. You see, Jesus is interested in doers of the word, right? He's interested in people who build their house on the rock, not on the sand. He's interested in people who are going to listen to what he has to say and then put that into their lives. That's the soil that bears fruit in the kingdom of God. He goes on to say, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Now Jesus was teaching in a day and age when they didn't understand how seeds worked. We know how plants grow today. We know that process very intimately. They didn't understand it to the extent that we do today. So when they went out to sow a crop, they didn't know how it was going to grow. And the same is true for the one who endeavors to spread the good news of the kingdom. Remember, he has appointed his apostles to take the good news of the kingdom out. And so in this parable, he's simply telling them, you don't know what sort of effect your preaching is going to have on other people. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." You see, this is how the good news of Jesus works. Our duty before God is simply to sow the word. And if we will step back and allow that word to work in the hearts and the minds of those who hear it, God will give the increase. We can't control what kind of soil that word is planted in. We can't control the condition of a person's heart. And it's really not by our own power that someone comes to faith in God. It's by God's power. It's his message. It's his spirit that has inspired that message. So my job as a Christian is simply to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to allow that word to do its work. He goes on to say, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Here's another beautiful parable. The kingdom of God is like a tiny little seed. And from that tiny little seed can grow a great plant that can be a blessing to many. When we take the simple message of Jesus Christ to the world, it's like that mustard seed. Something simple, something little, but it can profoundly affect the lives of those who hear it and receive it and follow it. And it can be a blessing not just to them, but it can bless others as well. Others can benefit from that. And of course, as their life grows into this beautiful spiritual plant, if you will, it becomes a glory to God. A little bit of faith can turn into something wonderful, something beautiful. And that is the power of Jesus Christ's message. It's simple. It's little. Maybe even some would call it insignificant. But it has the power to profoundly shape a person's life and to help others around them. He goes on to say in verse number 33, "And with many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." So Mark is just telling us that this was Jesus' practice. He taught them in parables, and he would then go on to explain what these parables meant. "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into that boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" We're nearly out of time for our program this week, but I just want to make a couple of comments real quick. First of all, here's Jesus demonstrating his authority and power over the forces of nature, a power that, as the disciples say, we've never seen. And indeed, in Scripture, we have seen very few examples of this. Moses parting the Red Sea may come the closest. Elijah praying and for rain falling upon the earth, that might come close as well. But the immediacy with which Jesus does this, that he speaks and immediately the waters are calmed and the storm stops, that separates this miracle. But we also see the impact of fear and how fear can play havoc on our lives. And that, my friends, is an important lesson. Because worldly fear can distract us from following after the Master.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that God commands everyone to repent. We all desire to do wrong things, and we all succumb to temptation from time to time. But God does not want us to continue living in sin. Instead, he wants us to leave those sinful habits behind. And so he commands us to repent, to turn away from sin and to turn toward righteousness. If you know you need to live better, but you need help changing your life, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.